Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thank you, Mark Grody. And I will go ahead and call Mark Grody a guest in the show as we talked about his new assignment with the Bears broadcast crew and with the Score. Thank you also to Joe Ostrowski, who had updates before that. Our guests on the show, Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, Dan Pompey just last hour, and it happened. And it was worth it. We ended desperate angle hunting season on Matt Nagy with Larry Wisdom.
Yes.
Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp. Great job, guys. Thank you so much. Ray Diaz does fine work. And Brian Gerch will not kill you. And he does the video stream and does it well at watch670thescore.com. Tomorrow on the show, Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. Pick a player is what we'll play. And John Moon Mullen from NBC Sports Chicago, who's written some really good stuff over the past couple weeks about Bears things and just tweeted mere moments ago.
Broke a little news.
That Harry Hiestand, the Notre Dame offensive line coach, former Bears offensive line coach, is likely to come here with Matt Nagy, which would be a coup.
Great reputation, and he's going to have, what, two NFL first-round picks, one of which might be a Bear?
Yeah, God, I hope they don't draft a guard at number eight, though. Like, I hope that that's not
the influence.
Well,
I'm also thinking they might trade down. Greg Gabriel seem pretty convinced from the intelligence he's receiving that the Bears are going to go offensive line now more than ever. But, hey, you know, that's a very solid hire.
Yeah.
No, is that the name that Dan Pompey couldn't tell you guys?
Right, I know.
Maybe. Yeah. And that's
secret coach?
I'm hearing names, but I can't say the names. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, then don't say it.
Don't say that you're
no, no. I liked it. I thought it titillated me. It got me going, got me thinking.
Yeah.
On the West Coast. I'm hoping for bigger. I'm still hoping for bigger. Than a college coach of some kind of crazy spread. Chip Kelly's going to come be the Festival of Intrigue as the offensive coordinator.
Both line coaches and both coordinators are most important hires. So get those out the way and then keep it moving. You can fill in whatever. Wide receiver coach and all that other stuff, but your line coach.
You don't want to retain
important.
Zach Azani?
No, I'm good.
You're sure?
I don't think he did much to develop anybody. Deontay Thompson leaves, and all of a sudden he's catching 100 yards worth of balls every other week
hey,
in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Josh Bellamy got that sauce. Where do you think he gets his sauce from?
He's going to
get
his
giant
sauce
containers
some
of
Heckies
sauce.
Soon. He's working there.
I will measure.
Heckies is delicious.
Man. Heckies is delicious. It's the sauce.
True, man.
I drove right by it just a couple weeks ago. I almost stopped and like, do I want to?
I'm going to measure all wide receiver coaches against Daryl Drake just because of sound bites and such. That's what I said.
Hey, man, Daryl Drake is the guy that put Larry Fitzgerald in the slot. Continued that career 3 years. Yeah, Daryl's got some stuff for you. He doesn't like kids. it's simple.
Like young.
This is the other thing too. You gotta know what your roster is going to look like here. Like, how many vets are you going to drop in each one of these rooms, and who's going to question certain people? I heard Olin talking about it a couple of times over the last few days that, and as we talked about it, the leadership doesn't come into play when you're winning. Everybody's high fiving each other. It's when you're having terrible practices, and can you check a dude and have him understand it ain't personal. Mm-hmm. I'm here to win games. So if that touches you in a certain way, you can't get motivated. We need to get you up out of here instead of patting him on the shoulder, telling him it's all good, and then going behind his back and saying he's not doing what he's supposed to do. So those are the kind of guys you have to hire. And guys who don't have that kind of reputation, players know. Players text each other immediately when these hires happen. Like, yo, what do you know about this dude? Oh, he's a phony. He's a liar. He's going to stab you in the back immediately. All right, I'm not going to buy in. I'm going to play my game.
Right.
And when we start to lose week 12, week 13, it's going to show because I'm not going to buy in.
We haven't heard anything bad about the culture under John Fox. Haven't heard anything bad about that. We certainly heard lots of bad stuff about the culture under Mark Trestman.
Yeah, you're going to get him going on culture. This has been a flashpoint for a...
Tired of hearing about culture, man.
Football coaches just
it's just
what they all do.
Nah, that's what losers do. Losers talk about culture.
Andy Reid talked about it. Belichick talks about it. They all talk about
it. Yeah, Belichick. They got bad culture right now, don't they? They're going to make a run to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we'd all take their culture.
Exactly.
Though.
Nah.
Yeah, the Patriots culture sucks right now.
Culture.
We'd all take it.
What is the point? Some wacko personal trainer in there who's dividing the locker room.
And all football coaches are the same way.
He defined it for you yesterday, though, didn't he?
He gave you some buzzwords.
No, what?
Trust.
He said trust so you can like say anything you need to each other, so you can talk about anything you want with each other and staying positive. He said he was getting chills.
I think that's coaching. Culture to me is organizational, top down from the CEO, president, from the very top ownership. To me, culture is expectation. Culture, and it's all ridiculous.
Well, you're defining it how you want it. He's defining it how he wants it, and he's the one who's trying to talk about it.
I don't think it's a real thing.
I think if you put enough people who are professionally responsible for themselves and each other and take care of each other and know when a guy is dragging a little bit and say, hey, that's my man, I'm gonna lift him up. I don't need a word to be slapped on that. That's just you doing what you need to do.
But we know what it looks like when it goes bad, Jason. Like for
Giants this year.
Yeah, for a bunch of Bears in the last freshman year. Like we know what it looks like when it goes bad. But maybe it's not that hard to get.
Was that bad culture or not respecting a coach?
Well, those guys would define it as bad culture that was allowed to fester because he lied to people. Trestman would lie to people like you're talking about.
The lack of respect. You had a lot of guys who we can't wait to applaud in this city that were a part of that bad culture. You had a lot of people who were like, oh, you know, this is a Brian Piccolo Award winner. Yeah, he wasn't down with it either. I mean, hey, Pat Manley. Pat Manley talked about that culture. Pat Manley was in those locker rooms.
Right.
Pat Manley didn't respect that dude either.
It wasn't just lying to people, too. It was letting Brandon Marshall, when he said, don't do this. Everybody watched what Brandon Marshall did.
So are we in a choke clutch scenario? Because you know what bad culture looks like when it's not there.
Because of losing.
No. It's not just losing. It's people not respecting bosses.
Do you think everything is good right now with the Patriots?
No.
Do you think that's going to stop them from winning football games?
Not necessarily.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not the final word. That's one example. It's like we know what a bad locker room looks like. And you yourself talking about like if you bring in jackasses, you can't bring in jackasses who are going to lie to people.
Coaches. Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
But that's the thing. I think far too often we hear culture when it's time to talk about something that isn't the football or isn't the personnel. You know? We don't hear Patriots culture. We don't hear that. You hear.
There's been books written on the Patriots way. I mean, Scott Pioli tried to do that. So that's all.
Yeah.
The
so
same
what
thing.
Happened? What well, happened I mean, when Scott Pioli went to Kansas City?
Huge
or
failure.
What happened when he went to Atlanta and thought he was going to usurp the authority of Thomas Dimitroff? And he
also
was like,
Patriots
no, no,
guy.
We do things a certain way here because this isn't Kansas City anymore. All I'm saying is it's a very convenient way for people to skirt the real issue of personnel accountability, personal accountability, right?
Personal accountability is within there, though, isn't it?
But the bad culture guys can also be the guys who, you know, if they had someone to respect that would hold themselves accountable personally. Like, for instance, you think bad culture guys learn bad culture or it just takes over your locker room?
I think it's allowed to fester by bad leadership. And I think that's what they end up talking about. Like when baseball guys talk about even the culture of a front office. All right, I got 10 guys sitting around. Whose idea is best? No freaking egos. And actually, Nagy talked about that a little bit in the offensive room yesterday, right? They're like, whoever's idea is best. Mm-hmm. Don't let your stupid ass ego get in the way of the best idea winning. And that's part of the culture that people can talk about. I think there's something there to it. I understand you being annoyed by it, and I think
we've heard it from too many teams, huh?
Talent wins, yeah. And I think everybody agrees. With that, yeah. And I would think that he would agree with it too. It's just football coaches of school coaches, college coaches, pro coaches, they're all just weird.
I think that Bears team would have performed if they had a different leader.
Well,
I think that Bears team that we talk about with the culture,
we're
5 years removed from that.
I
so
know.
At what point does the culture take off to the winning part? When do we get to the winning part of the timeline?
It doesn't exist alone. Everything you're talking about is arguably
five
more important.
Now,
but everything you're talking about in terms of personnel and scheme and drafting
is arguably more important.
But I don't think the culture is unimportant. And I think that like that's something you can control a little bit.
It's like the chemistry thing.
It is the chemistry
right?
thing.
I mean,
same thing.
You know, we've seen six titles from one organization in an 8 year run where guys were backbiting each other, but when it came time to lay it on the line, everybody knew what they had to do.
Right, that's a culture instilled by what? Jordan, right?
And Phil
together.
Yeah, bad culture too. Phil didn't get his job because he worked his way up. He's like, hey, you guys ready for me to run this team? Mm-hmm.
But once they were there,
huge
and
difference
running the
though
show,
in basketball and football. Huge difference, right?
Locker room dynamics are similar.
But the most talented team wins huge percentage of the time in basketball, regardless.
I don't think they mean good people or like kumbaya, especially not a football sense. They mean like being accountable, being honest, being credible, like trusting each other. And it shouldn't be hard, but I think it is harder than it seems.
The comps for baseball and basketball fall short of football because football has such a specificity of job that you have had champions where the defense hated the offense.
Right.
You have had champions where half of the team was almost a sub team within a team. Uh-huh. Then Trestman comes in and he's like, mix up the lockers and I want this guy next to this guy. And
talk to you from the back row.
Some of that sounds great.
But on that same defense, when it was one guy's job to just like get swallowed up by two people and let the other guy make the tackle in the glory, he didn't care. He didn't let his freaking ego get in the way.
In the game is different. In the game, we're going to find out who's not doing their job in the game. But throughout the week, when things start to come apart, you know, is it because that guy has always been a bad guy? Is it because we've all let go? Like, the best characters, like, this is the thing. They took out the bad apples, right? The guys that they thought were bad apples and the guys they didn't want to pay anymore, and Matt Forte.
I think that was lazy how John Fox tried, and I agree with you
and
there.
And that's what I was on.
Yeah.
Let me see. I hire you, and you're the first coach in forever that's had some kind of tenure before as a head coach.
I agree.
What was the point of a gravitational hire if he doesn't want to exude that?
Let me see what you got.
If that's the seeds of your like recent football culture issue, I get it. Because like Fox came in and talked culture, and all he did was get rid of people he was too scared to coach. Right?
Right.
And lose.
And got his ass kicked.
But he got rid of the bad apples.
And now with Ryan Pace, you know, we've removed the Fox shield. It is now the high burn and all the culture things. Just win me some games. I'm tired of the buzzwords. We hear all these words.
Yesterday's just words, though, right?
They mean nothing. No,
Months of words.
And that's, right.
We won't have an outcome for 7 months.
And that's what I said, Danny. I'm like, this is cool. He can be as refreshingly honest and all these things at the podium. I wish him the best because I'm a Bears fan. I want him to do well because if he does well, we do well as a station.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm happy as a Bears fan.
I feel you.
They are just words. I can't wait to get to Private A and see what's going on.
Right. It's just an appearance of honesty, too, by the way.
I'm down with it.
He just is saying a lot, and he's not going to reveal very much, and there's nothing to be guarded about yesterday because it's day one. Andy Reid does not say anything. John Harbaugh does not say anything.
They're anchored. They understand.
Nagy's not a phony. He's not lying about it. Like you say, he's just a football guy. This is how football guys talk.
It's just what they do.
And he's going to learn.
They believe.
And he's going to learn what not to say.
He believes these things are real and true.
He definitely does.
Yeah. And that's what you want. I want a dude who's.
But I think he nailed it yesterday for whatever that is worth, which I don't think is basically anything. I think I grade press conferences like pass fail. Right, like he did a good job.
Right, unless you throw up in your shoes, or you wet yourself,
we're absolutely going to hold
against you. Say we're going to be selfish and undisciplined.
The McCloskey family.
Did you see the Bears Instagram post of picking him up in the jet and then putting him in the Sprinter and taking him to Hallis Hall and having his family walk around? Like you could tell. He's walking with his boys, and he's like, this is pretty cool, huh? He's also getting them used to, like, hey, like, this is our new town. Like,
yeah, we're moving.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. His whole DeBears thing was to them, if people didn't see it.
It's
DeBears, right,
kids,
guys?
He's playing with his kids. The newness of it I can appreciate for him because he's a young guy who I'm sure there are a bunch of people who think that around the NFL, you know, there's a bunch of backbiting little bitches in coaching where it's like, oh, well, he shouldn't have that job. Why don't I have that job? But he's the newness and the genuine, like you said, the genuine refreshing honesty that is I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm with a young guy getting a job and people, I don't know about this guy. All right, go show him. That's what I'm about. Go show them. So the culture and all those other things, getting back to the culture and all those other things, all this amounts to is, will you win? How quickly will you win?
No question.
Are you going to win? Because if he wins with lesser players, I'm like, yo, Ryan Pace really isn't helping his boy out, and they're still 9-7. They're still 10-6. Uh-huh. That's going to affect how we exalt him as well.
Well, man, honestly, as someone who watched every pass that Alex Smith threw as a Chief.
Yeah. Did they do more than Alex Smith's talent deserved?
He just had his career season in year 12.
They might have the best tight end in football, too, though.
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill's the number one receiver, and they drafted.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
Tyreek Hill?
I would love for him to be their number two or three. I'm sure they would, too.
Oh, sure. I mean, 75 catches, 1,200 yards, 16 yards a catch. He's legit.
Hey, can I ask you guys about a couple things?
He's not a believer. You're not a Tyreek Hill believer.
No, I think he's a very good player. I think that in that playoff game, I thought you saw some things being done to him at the line of scrimmage. You're right about that.
Well, he had the drops in the cold, he's had some cold issues before, but you get the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. I think it's single.
And they took a chance on a guy who had some issues coming out of college who kept his nose clean, too.
Huge issues.
Great job in the interview with Nagy yesterday. You guys were on point. It was really good stuff. I had no problem with him seemingly lowering the expectations of Trubisky a little bit, if that's the way that question was actually read, and I know he fumbled a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think listening back to it, he was kind of saying he's not there yet.
Right.
Hopefully we get him there, but the takeoff was a little bumpy.
I'm okay with, should I think playoffs for you? No, not right now. Like, I'm okay with that. And did you guys talk Super Bowl? No, it's just assumed. I'm okay with that. But I know that goes against everything you've said.
Well, the reason I bring it up is when you open the door to talking of culture, if you don't say that, then words don't mean as much. But when you yourself and the organization and your boss brings up culture, my experience with these NFL teams, I remember making fun of the Kansas City Chiefs on Hard Knocks when the president of the team in the opening episode said, "We are here to win the Lamar Hunt trophy." I'm like, "You dumbass. No, you're not." "Yeah, we won the AFC. Nobody cares." Like, if you're going to invoke that,
that's silly.
Aim the highest thing possible. So if they don't want to bring up culture and all that, I think for Ryan Pace to say what he says about how they talk about things, about how they operate at a high burn, all this energy, that when you set the tone, I don't think it makes you win. I don't think it makes you better, but I do think the way Theo Epstein did it, I do think the way Rocky Wirtz did it, talking about...
We're here to win.
We're here to win titles, mm-hmm. plural.
Sure.
The fact that they did, two teams in this town came in...
And did that.
Came in freshly, told you exactly that the goal was to win titles.
But you said yesterday, you know, intellectually, it's not causation.
Of course.
So as long as you can admit that it doesn't matter, it's just words in a press conference.
Intellectually, I can't. Of course, your take on press conferences is intellectually unassailable.
Thank you.
It's ironclad.
Yeah.
However, there are still things that you feel good. there's still things that you feel good hearing. There's still things that sound like the kind of person confident.
That's different.
Listen, the person confident enough to say something like this is a person maybe I can believe about how they go about their work, about other things. It tells me about them.
The resounding personal pressure, too, that we all put on ourselves, and we may not talk about it, but the personal pressure and the personal discomfort, like, I know it's probably there for him immediately while you're watching, you know, Kervon LeBlanc and all these other dudes play and Callahan. You're like thinking, all right, who are we going to keep here? Is this guy going to get me beat in a real game? Saying it to radio idiots is one thing, but as long as you're thinking that every single day, and as long as you are imparting that on the people that you think you are going to win with and the people that are showing you that you're not going to win with too. There's some people who walk around buildings like, "Hey man, we're good, aren't we? We're straight." And you're feeling like, "Why do you think we're good?"
Yeah, no,
but you may not say it to him immediately. But that championship stuff is in your head, no matter what.
That a guy who gets a head coaching job at 39
has dreams of that.
Yeah, and ambition.
I'm not saying he doesn't dream it. I'm just saying that's why I said, as long as you are that is in your head, no matter what. Because there are some people who are just happy to be here.
I like a guy with the balls to say it.
There are some people.
And Dan, I do too. Yeah. Like as a fan, the meatball side, as you call it, whatever.
Yeah.
Come out and say, the goal is to win a Super Bowl. Of course. Rah, rah, all that stuff.
Sure.
I just have no reason to believe that's not the goal.
Again, that's completely fair. But what I realized happened yesterday, here is a way of looking at the difference between an aspect of the phoniness of John Fox and what is right now the realness of Matt Nagy. Fox said...
I like to underpromise and overdeliver. I always look at it. I'm going to underpromise. I'm going to overdeliver.
Yeah, Matt Nagy underpromised.
He did it
over and
but
over.
But he didn't have to tell you he was doing
it. Did it.
And so he just did it because he's not at that level of BS yet. Maybe he will be at some point. Maybe that just develops over time with enough
the job
scar
beats
tissue.
You down like a president. Yeah. And again, there's nothing that he's hiding. Like, wait till listen to a Mike Tomlin press conference. All right. Mike Tomlin says a lot of words and it's charismatic. Mm-hmm. And then when you listen back 15 minutes later, you're like, he said,
I got nothing.
Right?
You're transcribing your notes. Well, looking for the money quote. It's not there.
You know what would have been a better thing? If he had talked about Super Bowl in the interview and more, it probably would have helped establish the culture. You know?
You're an idiot.
They talk about culture.
That's
they can use big words.
I think these guys all understand that fans have the Carfax on their favorite teams. They understand what's real and what's not. And I understand what you're going to sell me on. I understand the BS you're going to peddle. And I understand where my buy-in level is. And we know that, or we think we know that with this guy. And we'll see how it translates to Bourbon A in the regular season.
In his case, there was so much realness in the "you're an idiot," by the way.
No.
I felt it.
I think in his case, it wouldn't be Carfax. It would be the real estate equivalent, right? Zillow or something like that.
Oh, yeah, man.
If he knows that we can get the comps and everything else.
What time are you guys replaying Larry Wisdom? What time are you
guys? Hold on a second.
Let me ask you. Was it a bad interview?
No.
Or was it just the idea of going to...
We talked to him.
I thought it was the 10th member of Wu-Tang.
Wait. Larry Wisdom is the last person who was Matt Nagy's boss before Andy Reid. He was the one who was his boss at the real estate company. And we got him, and he allowed him to go be a coaching intern and sell houses on the side.
I thought it was great.
He's not been bringing any money.
Hysterical.
And, you know, it was good because they were talking about, like, you know, what kind of guy he was. He made a commitment to Larry Wisdom. He tried to honor his commitment. Almost didn't take the coaching job because he felt he owed Larry Wisdom.
Yeah, he felt he had bills to pay.
It would be more poor righteous teachers, right? Intellect.
It doesn't always have to go back to the last thing you listened to, Dan. You can keep it at the Wu-Tang analogy and just keep it moving. It's okay.
You can admit that you didn't really like
your joke?
No, that band. It's okay.
I like Poor Righteous Teachers. I just don't like you always bringing them up.
Is there a third base? Is there a third base reference going on?
No.
What do you guys got today?
Let me look at the sheet.
MC Search is a radio host, isn't he?
Is he really?
Let's go.
Rashawn Merriman at 2 o'clock. We got Anthony Heron at 3, 3:40 and other news. Pete Futak at 4. Hub Arkish will have the people at 5. It's on at 5:30.
It's Bernstein and Goff on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.